Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in tonight's comic book club. You're your hosts, Pete LeBay, Justin Tyler, and Alex Alvin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Matt. Booth! Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. What's this?
Yeah,
what's this?
I'm going to do a little imitation for you guys.
Oh, ready? Delightful. Ready? An impression.
Ready? Where are my crystal skulls? Give me my crystal skulls. I want them back. I don't like you, Shia LaBeouf.
Space cowboy.
Yeah. No. I'm Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Okay. I found this backstage. Okay, so we are very excited about the show tonight, you guys.
We are.
We have two awesome guests for you, and I will introduce them right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Selena Kubik and Jew in Fury.
Else in the show. The Indiana Jones bit, 1 hour. We spent
paid off, I tell you.
That was cool. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to have you here. So, Joe, let's start with you, actually. Let's talk about what you're doing, which one of the things you're doing is this tiny little thing called The Process.
Which, yeah, everybody in this should already have one on their seat. It's my web comic. It's been recently nominated for an Eisner this year. Shall I talk about other things that I've got going on at the same time?
Well, talk about the process.
Let's
talk about the process of making the process.
Yeah. Oh! He's on fire tonight!
Nice. Yeah. First time anybody's done that, right?
Yeah, that's never happened before. Well, it's like an ongoing web comic that I'm working on, and it's kind of like, I come from a fine art background, and so it's like what a fine art nerd does when he does comics, and it's kind of like a conceptual art project, by bringing it to the internet, and kind of opening my studio up to everybody to kind of just see how the process is of making, a graphic novel.
And currently,
like making mistakes, showing them off, editing, as I go along.
And currently you're about, you're two chapters in, right?
Right, I'm at the close of the second chapter.
And how many chapters total is it going to be?
That requires a lot more advanced thinking than I'm capable of right now. I definitely have, a larger arc planned out. It's, getting there is going to be the journey. And so it could be,
it's like life.
Hey, yo.
Just help out. Somebody's awake over there. it is. So it could be a lot of chapters. I actually have an Active 8 comic coming out at the beginning of June, which is basically another chapter of the process told completely out of order. It's going to be like a much later chapter, but I'm doing it now because I have an opportunity to do it, and I think it's going to be really fun.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. There was a piece of a tiny little superhero in the first chapter, was it? Or
the
beginning
second.
Of the second chapter?
It's in the second, yes.
Yeah. And so you're spinning that off into,
Well, there was always a story for Ultra Lad, which is the character we're talking about. There was always a story for him, and it was kind of ties in with some of the larger themes for the whole comic book, and that is kind of like death and dying, and youth and old age. And so that's kind of like an inverse of Shazam in a way. It's like a kind of a schlub that says the magic word to become this like mighty might, like a power tot, like a little kid, and that kicks ass. And so when Activate approached me to do a comic with them, it was kind of like perfect timing because it was something that they don't really have anything of. They don't have like any superhero comics on their site, so it was something that I could do that was its own little niche there, and it was going to be a lot of fun for me to kind of show another side of the process, because now it's like a different kind of thing, and by adding that, it kind of just shows, it gives a little bit more breadth to the entire project.
You must like working on the internet.
I also like making money, and don't happen to coincide, unfortunately. And
we left caps under everything. Yes.
Somebody surprised.
What did I win?
A lid to your water.
this is a big bucky show.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Money. Being broke.
Hey, I lack of
webcomics. So I like webcomics. Yeah, it is good. It gives you autonomy. You don't have to, you know, deal with editors too much. You know, but print definitely is where it's at, I feel. Like, right now, I'd like to be doing more print stuff. And a lot of the things I've been doing online, I've always been kind of thinking of them with that in mind, going, you know, print. And
when do you think, you know, just to prognosticate a little bit, when do you think we'll get to a point where people, you know, it seems like everybody who is making webcomics online, not everybody across the board, but a large majority are, well, I'll do this, and then hopefully I can get this collected in some way. That's not the only goal, but that is an eventual goal. When do you think it'll start to go the other way? Or at the very least, when the internet will be its own medium that can support itself?
I have no idea.
We need an answer. Question. We need an answer.
Of web comics, unfortunately. I wish I had like a crystal ball I could look into and kind of forecast.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
I actually went to buy one. They had sold out.
All the other web comic.
They all got there before me, I guess. So I don't really know, but that would be an interesting thing to see, like how to. I guess there are people that are making a living at doing web comics. I mean, the Zuda thing is now offering people opportunity to make money at a, like, at a reasonable page rate to do that, and so that is possible. But I guess it's possible too, like to set up your own web comic and make money just off the advertising and, you know, print on demand and stuff like that. That's not where I am right now, but it's very feasible. I think a lot of people are actually.
And what else are you working on? What's next for you beyond the process and the Activate?
I do like web comics, I guess, because I have a story for Dean Hashfield's Next Door Neighbor on Smith Magazine. Nice. I have a story for them coming up. It'll probably be in the fall. And I think I'm on target for a comic on Heave Magazine as well.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And of course, there's Borrowed Time 3 that I have. It's a little overdue, but that's coming up hopefully by the end of the year as well. That's it.
Cool. Well, great. That's busy.
Now, you have a trouble with Jew. Mm-hmm. I have to be sure to say Borrowed Time because I'm from Canada originally, and so it's Borrowed. See, we actually pronounce it O.
I'm from upstate New York. People made fun of me about that.
You say Borrowed?
Yeah.
I always say Browed.
That's what this show is all about.
Selena, is that a crystal ball on your neck?
No, it's I bought it on a subway. I don't know. Or, you know, not on
a
subway, but on
shop.
Yeah, exactly.
It used to be a
it's a pickle.
Yeah, I got it with districts. I brought it right downstairs. I mentioned the pin. it's from her pearl, allegedly.
Well, Selena, I just did.
Whoa.
Whoa, man.
Easy.
Okay, I'm okay.
That sounded like nachos
falling.
Just
to chat.
Does it crunch?
You could get past nachos.
I know, you usually ignore, but then you're like,
nachos?
You say nachos?
It sounded a little crispy, and there was a little bit of a bean sound.
Oh, cheese.
Yeah, great. Well, that's definitely part of it. You don't really read comics.
No, I read the Archies when I was a kid. Betty and Veronica.
Archie.
And I like, modeled my life after sort of Betty, but sort of Veronica. So both.
What qualities did you take from each of them?
I like Betty's simplicity, but I sort of like Veronica's bitchiness. You know?
Nice.
So I guess I'm a simple.
Wow. It's like a dating game.
Another thing, you are. I'm on fire today.
And
your cousin is
yeah.
Kevin Conroy, who we had on the show before.
Hell yeah.
That was
the voice
rad.
Of Batman. Something that I heard was brought up to you, either after or during the show, I don't remember, hopefully it wasn't during the show, is your name is Selina, and he is the voice of Batman.
Yeah.
And Catwoman
I've
is Selina
this.
Kyle.
Yeah, that is weird. And you know what else is weird? My cousin's name is Serena, which I just think is kind of, like, it's awkward for me.
William.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel awkward about that because I'm like, I feel like my parents, like, bit off her name but, like, changed one letter, you know? But Selena's a family name. I was like, I'm paying tribute. My name is in tribute to this woman who raised my mom. But yeah, that is weird about my cousin, Kevin.
Totally weird, right?
Yeah, it's totally weird. I'm weirded out.
Yeah.
Freaked out.
But he had a great time here. It was awesome to be here. That was really
cool. We miss him.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Please,
cool.
Just me, right. Not these guys.
we are going to move on with our first section then, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
First issue we are going to talk about today is Robin 174. We are going to spoil it for you guys a little bit.
Ah, but a bump.
Yeah, someone wrote it. They got that joke.
Nice. For those of you who don't know, there's a character called the Spoiler that was Robin's girlfriend. She was killed off during the War Games crossover in Batman to teach Batman a lesson that he should stop adopting little kids.
He should.
Turns out,
obviously.
And the spoiler is, she is actually alive.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Batman learned nothing.
Yeah.
He even says that.
Yeah.
He even says that at a certain point. What did you guys think about this issue?
I like the character. Why do you think it's blue?
Well,
what do you think?
First off, it was just Robin's fighting the Spoiler, and he's like, wow, she's just like Steph, but she can't be Steph because Steph is dead. And then she's like, it is Steph. And then they made out. I was like, what the?
Oh, yeah.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Oh, okay.
If you knew someone that had died and you were fighting someone that was like them, you wouldn't think that was them. I rest my case.
Oh my god.
I like the character of the Spoiler.
Did that just happen?
I know, you beat me, I think.
Here's the thing about this book. Fans at every single convention since she was killed off have complained and complained and complained that it was the first, she was turned into the first female Robin, by the way. So they kept complaining that they had a strong female character, immediately killed her off, and then proceeded to not have a memorial for her in the Batcave.
Which is a big deal.
Which is a big deal because all of the previous Robins had memorials in the Batcave. She didn't. People kept saying, like, why isn't there a memorial in the Batcave? And they kept making, like, hilarious misogynist jokes.
Yeah, do you think that's misogynistic?
It is misogynistic, the way people took it, but I feel like, I mean, he has a giant penny in the Batcave.
What?
There's a bunch of stuff in there. Like, everyone was like, listen, I've seen the Batcave, and there's no memorial in there. Like, you don't...
But he's a giant penny, like, literally a coin?
Yeah.
In the Batcave?
Yeah.
Wow.
From the time he almost got hit by a giant penny.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of agree with you. At the same time,
I don't agree.
And it's not like it took anything away from them to put it back in.
Right.
That being said, several things happened to this issue beyond, like, Batman saying, well, the reason I didn't get upset about it was because I suspected that she was alive the entire time. There's also a line, and that's why there's no memorial in the Batcave, somebody says at one point. Also, they kill Dan DiDio in this issue.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fan issue, I think.
What do you think if you're Dan DiDio and you read this comic that you, like, helped publish, and you're like, they killed me.
How did I miss this?
What a
dick. How did this get past me?
If you're Dan DiDio, you probably love it. Do you recommend picking this up?
I like it. I like the spoilers back. Pick it up.
Cool. All right, let's move on and talk about Amazing Spider-Man 560. Latest issue by Dan Slott and Marcos Martin. What do you guys think about this?
Well, it's tough because, you know, I'm still hurting from the bullshit they put us through.
You've been talking about this for so
long. Yeah, so here's my problem, right? They're finally kind of like, hey, there's a new character. This character is kind of lame but also kind of cool. And then it was like,
nice.
Just when you think you're getting out of the woods, you know, they're like, oh, by the way, remember why this comic sucks? Yeah. And then they just beat you over the head with it with the last page. was like, just when I thought I could walk away and be like,
I feel like this kind of a broke up with you. And you have to be like, I'm not over the pain yet.
I'm not over the pain.
I thought this issue was great.
It was.
I've actually been enjoying this run. I know a lot of people haven't, but this is by far the best issue. Completely solid art, completely solid writing, a lot of fun. Great last page.
Oh, great last page.
That's yeah.
Woo! This is hot for nerds, huh?
It's nothing to laugh about. Yes, it is.
I'm only kidding.
Reading Faust.
Reading Faust.
I don't know.
Mary Jane is back.
Shotgun. She's got giant boobs. Right. As do all characters.
Wait till we get to the rest of
these. Yeah.
Yeah, wait until we get to the next thing. Did you like this?
I think it's great. The art is fantastic. I don't want to... Can't overstate it enough.
Yeah, it's great. The art, the layout's all excellent. There's a little thing. If you look at the cover, there's a whole pop art thing going on. Thank you. It's because the villain is paper doll. She's paper thin. They're fighting in an art exhibit, which is something that was done recently in Batman. So it's the same sort of thing, but it still completely works. Where Spider-Man is punching her, and there's a pop art thing of wham in the background, the sound effect. It's really cute.
The single.
All right. Speaking of gratuitous, I don't even know what this is called. 1001 Arabian Nights: The Adventures of Sinbad, Number One. Pete, I'm curious. You love this issue.
Well, first off, I'm a sucker for pirates and a story about Sinbad.
Good to know.
But I just like the fact that they're bringing him back, and he's got a very...
Bringing him back!
Finally said that.
But...
after his failed sitcom.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's a bad joke, so I knew it was going to happen.
You really walked into this.
Oh, man. I thought maybe we could, but no. Yeah, so it's an interesting first issue. I feel like it really sets the tone of what it's going to be about.
True.
The TNA from the Witch Queen was a little much.
Here's the beautiful. I don't know if you guys can see this. This is when you meet her. You get a little breezy ass shot. Then there she is with this very I don't even know what to call that.
Loot.
Oh, cool. So then later Sinbad, she's like, "Come back to my room, Sinbad." He's like, "I'll be there." And she's like, "Let me slip into something more comfortable." And she's wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
Except she
different
took the,
color.
She took
it's
the,
a different color.
She took the belt off.
But yeah, it's even lighter now.
Yeah.
I don't understand these women.
I thought this was Sin terrible.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really? Nice? Okay.
I said it.
Fair enough. This is awful. Layouts are awful. Nothing makes any sense whatsoever that's going on in this issue. Terrible art, terrible writing. Pick it up.
Yes.
Wow.
All right, let's move on. Talk about Justice League of America number 21 with the awful-looking Sightings branding on the top. I don't mean to be a negative Nelly here.
Yeah, you were so
negative.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's a really interesting question. You saw it.
Well, here's what DC's doing. They're saying, like, we publish a lot of books. A lot of them are unimportant. The important ones, we're going to put the word Sightings on the top of.
Oh, really?
As if...
an imprint, like a series?
Well, it's like part of a larger story they're trying to tell. Yeah. And they're introducing a character in here named Libra.
Reintroducing.
That they're supposed to... It's going to be a big deal in the coming...
Okay.
...months or years.
What did you guys think about this issue?
It was slightly lame. I had a hard time with the fact that it was kind of... Libra was in charge of putting evil teams together. I thought that was kind of a weird, like, he was picking out dodgeball teams. He's like, okay, you've got Big Eye over here. You're going to be on the B squad. You suck. You're over here. I was just like, what? How is he?
He's
that
big scales.
Job?
He's like judges.
Oh, and okay. Basically the idea here, there's two halves to the issue almost. There's Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman in a conference room sort of ragging each other about people that they've made out with. And then the second
awesome.
Half of the issue...
Which
is,
happens in every conference
right.
room.
Second half of the issue is the amazing idea of forming a supervillain army.
And she's wearing pasties in the shape of spades over her boots.
Yes.
FYI.
I think she's
a bad guy.
Girl. Yeah, girl. Yeah. But she's a guy. I'm pretty sure she's a guy.
Spoiler. The problem is... The problem is that it's Libra putting together the supervillain army, and somebody in the book says, come on, that's been tried before. You can't do that. That doesn't work. Yeah. And they're like, oh, but this is different.
It's just a rehashed story. They did it a little while ago across in the DC Universe. They've done it
in
Marvel.
The last 2 years.
And they did it like just 5 issues ago with the same McDuffie. That's what he likes to write. It's a bunch of villains together.
Yeah.
It's bad. I'm worried about it.
He's no problem. All right, let's move on. Talk about Black Panther number 36.
Wow!
All right, Pete, defend yourself on this one.
All right. Black Panther is always one of those ones where, you know, it's like you wish it will do well. And I feel like this is starting to do some good stuff in here. Some Mole Man shout outs. I'm a sucker for Mole Man. That's always a good time.
It's true. He's a sucker for Mole Man.
You own Essential Mole Man, right?
Yeah. That's going to pay my kids' tuition someday.
Not to a college. Tuition to Arby's, baby.
So Arby's are sweet.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of people don't particularly like this Black Panther series right now. I've been enjoying it, and I do think there are some funny touches in it. This issue is a big turn down from the last issue for me, which I felt like was a lot of fun and developed some good relationships. A lot of the dialogue in here, I think, is rather clunky, as well as the exposition, and not a whole lot happens.
Yeah, I feel like Black Panther exists in this part of the Marvel Universe that no one wants to touch. They're like, what do we do with him? He runs a country, but he also fights crime on the street. It's like, how do you figure out where he's going to go?
Yeah, like, what kind of do with him?
All right, that was not nice.
Boy. No. What?
That was sin awful.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Man.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Anyway.
I'm saying, like, it's hard to find someone that can write this well.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think, that being said, I do think Reginald Hudlin, from the majority of the time, is actually writing it pretty well, just not particularly in this issue. Cool. Let's move on to something we can all agree on, which is Bomb Queen, the Divine Comedy, number one. So here's the deal. I haven't picked up a Bomb Queen title since the very first issue all the way back. The idea of Bomb Queen is a villainess named Bomb Queen decides rather than knocking over banks all the time, she's just going to take over a city. But she's completely successful. Turns the city into a depraved den of sin, essentially, and rules over it with an iron fist, and lets everybody else deal with the day-to-day affairs while she blows stuff up and kills people.
Nice.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think about this issue?
It sucks. It's trying to... I can appreciate the fact that they're like, we're going to be over the top and ridiculous, and it's just, you know... action TNA, but it doesn't really, I feel like, deliver. Like, I can kind of see the idea they're going for, but it's not as funny as it wants to be.
And I have a question from a non-comic book reader. There's a page in here I was just reading before.
Oh, man, you're killing Pete right now.
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
He's this one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like they're totally going crazy because they have this shot of the city, and it's like, rape, crime, like, all the buildings are named, like, I just found that really gratuitous.
That's the whole tone of the book. Like, it's so flip saying all these awful things.
That's my biggest problem, is I think that, in particular, there's a lot of sort of hilarious Nazi jokes. About, like, Zyklon B and stuff, which
they were horrible.
Not in any way funny at all. And I think, you know, it takes somebody very, very smart and very witty to actually take terrible things and make them funny. I think a really good example of it is Triple X Zombies by Rick Remender.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Pete is turning away because he hates that.
Yeah.
But I think with...
They don't accomplish that, though, in Triple X Zombies. It's just over the top.
No, it made perfect sense when that nun gave that guy a blow. Like, the story supported the whole.
Nope.
Yeah,
in any case, the one thing I would say that is positive about this, the art has gotten much, much better since the first Bomb Queen, and it's still not pretty good.
But I feel like they get away with it because of gratuitous TNA. Look at, could you hold up the next issue?
Is that what I'm doing? As I'm holding up comics today.
Yeah.
You're the Vanna White of this show.
Every single Eisner Award nominee we have on the show is our showgirl. How about the show?
I
would have
dressed differently had I known that. Probably something like this.
But look at the cat over the crotch. That's sort of like,
that's
hey,
a little joke there.
Did a fifth grade gal make this thing?
Yep. That's why it's cool. All right, let's talk about Perhaps Not's number two. Justin, you are a big fan of this title.
Yes, it's great. It's fun adventure. It seems like this is more Fantastic Four than the actual Fantastic Four comics are now, where it's just like a team of people who are very close. There's mystery. They're going off into different places. It's really well written. It's really fun.
I kind of disagree. I feel that, like, I really like this team that they've made. I feel like they're very interesting characters. I just wish they'd be doing more than they're doing right now. Like, I feel
with
like
with their lives.
Yes, with their lives. I feel like they're really,
good
they
job,
really, yeah, yeah.
Back
like,
to school.
Contribute more to society, like the team. Like, what
next
do?
Issue, all they do is recycle.
See, that's giving back. Yeah. I feel like more comics should do that.
More comics.
But no, I just feel that like I really love the team. I like all their voices. I feel like they're different. But it's just kind of like typical stuff where it's like, hey, listen, these guys think you're a king. And he's like, I'm the king, I'm the king.
That's not typical, that's awesome.
No, but how many times have we seen that where it's like, oh, they treat you like crap, but oh, next thing you know, oh, your dinner, you're going to be their food. Oh, I didn't see that coming a mile away.
What? You don't know if that's
did something happen to you?
I paid for a vacation in Mexico and it turned bad. That's what I mean.
Whoa! That's cool. You were
I
the
thought
king
that
of
was
Mexico?
Yeah, I was the king of Mexico for a day. Fucking on the old
you were on
road.
A speed?
Yeah, yeah. I had an apple in my mouth.
Are you sure you were in Mexico?
That's what the tour guide said.
I thought this was cute. So maybe I'm halfway between you guys.
That sounds different.
I agree with you, Alex.
Well,
it is
cute. I like
cute.
Things that are cute.
Like
it's like
what?
A, it's like a little puppy, you know, the kind of you're like, oh, that's on the street. All right, let's move on. X-Men, Divide We Stand, number two. Justin, once again, you were a big fan of this.
Yes, Justin loves it. This is a great book. This is what, I wish this was an ongoing series. I wish that the X-Men stories were like this, where they just take one character, put an idea out there, tell the story, and then move on to the next thing.
I feel like they should, you know, if you're going to tell a story of one character, do like an origin story. Don't do these stupid little things where they don't, it doesn't need to happen. We all know that they're going to get back together. Instead of crying and telling their life story about how hard they've had it as a mutant, you should be like, hey, we should be getting the team back together.
Of course you understand what it's like being a mutant. You're the king of Mexico. You're a big deal, but these mutants are struggling on the streets.
I just felt like it was, I mean, Beast's story was ridiculous.
Why? It was sad.
It was
Beast's story is he goes to the mansion and was destroyed and picks up all these old mementos.
Yeah, and then puts his, like, brain in a bowling ball case and then goes, hey, the danger room, and then bounces around the wall one last time. He's like, still got it. I'm going bowling.
What is a bowling ball?
That doesn't make any sense.
That was a student who was only a brain in a jar.
I agree with you. I think this would be a good ongoing series. I haven't been crazy about every story in either issue, but I do think the idea of telling individual X-Men stories by individual writers as an anthology is very nice. Granted, anthologies hardly ever work, and they tried to do it before for X-Men.
Uh-huh.
And that's the stat!
Hey! I think he was still on your side.
No, he really switches. He's a tricky.
All right, next up is my favorite section, because it's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring up Booth Bag.
Booth Bag!
So here's an awesome question. Would you rather have flight or invisibility? Why?
We talk like that when
you
reach
wow. So you don't want us to answer that? Is that
you can
you
if you want.
Yeah, sure.
Would you rather have flight or invisibility?
There's the enthusiasm.
Joe, would you rather have flight or invisibility?
I think invisibility.
Why?
Oh, that's the hard part.
Yeah, why is also part of the question.
Oh, jeez. Spring is on me and you expect me to have a peach for water.
Back to you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to agree with you and say invisibility. I feel like there's more of a payoff for being invisible.
Payoff?
Well, you know, you can rob a bank. You can,
oh, that's
true. Oh, you're a villain.
Yeah, I think we all know I'd be a villain. You know, there's just more stuff you can do with, you know, if you fly, you know, it's like, hey, I can fly, and it's great for a little while, but...
It's great all the time, probably. I would definitely fly.
I'm just saying that they're going to, you know, the government's going to find you quicker.
What would be good? I would think flight would be
overrated.
I had to invent flight. No one's invented invisibility, yeah? Because we don't need it.
So much cooler about
it. No, we don't need it. That's the thing. We need to fly.
No, we don't.
Yes,
birds had flight for me.
Save money on the airfares. I'm actually reconsidering. I'm thinking.
It's a great answer.
If you were invisible, you would have to pay anyway.
You'd have to walk.
Yeah.
You have to skip the whole flight. You get cramped.
Oh. Please.
No, but how many you have to sit in style in the aisle? No one would know.
They would kick your stuff on
you.
You
eat all the snacks. They'd be like chips, blue, but
eat the snacks? They're bigger than this.
Move on.
Is it like ghosts? Can you touch me?
They don't move snacks anymore.
I would choose invisibility because I'm scared of heights.
Me too.
Yeah.
This is, I think, for you. Have you ever looked at the work of one of your peers and thought, yuck, I hope they die old and alone? Or could be for them, but, you know.
We think that about each
I would never think that about one of my peers.
You're screaming, Mike.
I think when I was doing more fine art, that was kind of like part and parcel of the whole thing. It's like the hate. Like, you know, well, that guy's got a gallery show, and I hate him. So I hope he dies in obscurity. I don't think the comics world is like a kinder, gentler place for the most part, and so there's not so much of that. I don't feel that like kind of hostility.
Yeah. Or you do, and you wouldn't say.
I would never admit it here. Unless I chose invisibility, and then
Or no, you could say it, or fly away.
Or fly away, yes. But there's only so many places you can fly away to before you
see.
Thank you.
I could fly a lot of places. Maybe have an island.
What?
Fly to a little island.
Next question, for Joe. What fuels your creative prowess?
Process?
Prowess? No, actually it says not process, prowess.
Creative prowess. I look at a lot of comic books. I enjoy lots of things. I think it's just what fuels it is kind of, as far as, you know, process in particular, is like I have a story and there's a certain kind of, I think I'm on some level hardwired to kind of tell it. It's like, there's a certain kind of, as my girlfriend can attest, it's like a...
Obsession?
It's an obsession.
She was quick to say that.
I could have just handed it over to her.
She may have asked the question.
Yeah, there is a certain kind of obsession and compulsion to it that verges on an illness. So, it's just from... like a desire to do it.
Okay. I think just to follow up a little bit, Joe, were you gonna?
I was gonna ask Selena the same question.
Oh, wow.
We can all talk about it.
What fuels my creative process?
Prowess.
We were using, I know,
prowess.
But I feel like it's a misuse.
What?
Because I'm an editor, but yeah. No. What fuels? I don't know. Just like, I mean, I talk about, you know, I'm a stand-up comedian. I talk about like shit for my life. I mostly tell stories from like, you know, situations or dates or whatever. But yeah, I think it's really important, like, as an artist to flex that muscle, because I think if you don't, it's really, you know, I think it's just a thing that you're, like, it's a compulsion to do, and I think if you have that, if, like, sort of get up and go to it, you gotta do it, or else it's kind of, you know, like, you feel like you're almost, I just like being creative, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, in a really shitty, shitty, weird way of saying it.
I'm still light.
Yeah, I'm like,
do we have another question?
Oh, we do. Okay. Do you think the jump from being a free webcomic to print is selling out or a goal?
Ooh.
That is for you specifically.
I guess that's me. It depends. If you're not getting the money, it could be selling out. But if you are getting the money, it's a goal. That's a big way of putting it bluntly. But I guess, you know, like, there's no valor in, like, being at home, poor, and publishing your stuff online. You know, that's great, and there's no one going to stop you. It doesn't cost very much to do it. But it's nice to get paid to do what you love to do. And
would people really call you a sellout if you published a book of your webcomic?
I would hope not.
That seems a little insane.
That's a little hardcore. I think that's like more like a, maybe like a music kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Well, I think most people are happy to kind of see it come out.
I mean, I think there's also probably a big difference between publishing a book of your own webcomics versus your webcomics become popular and then you go and write Superman. Something like that.
Oh, I'd totally do that.
Sell out.
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's it for your audience questions.
Oh, nice.
All the catch you can use at the show, always. All right, it is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right, first thing we're going to talk about, we teased it a little bit earlier with a hilarious bit. Ladies and gentlemen, Indiana Jones came out.
I thought maybe we were going to show something. So I moved the curtain back a little bit.
Just a picture. Harrison Ford!
What did you guys think about this movie? Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. You guys did not see it.
I'm
not into that stuff.
What do you mean that stuff?
Archaeology.
No, science fiction.
What?
I know, everybody hates me. I like real things.
Okay, I'm not into comedy.
I like
Dude,
to each his own, everyone's opinion.
9:30, stay here, there's gonna be a fight. What'd you guys think? I know you did not like it.
Oh, bad. Bad across the board. Bad from the very beginning.
All right.
Yes. It was all like washed out. And Indiana Jones, like.
Washed out?
Like, everything was like, I had a white
hand. Yeah, that's great.
No, it was like.
I feel like it was a good time. Like, if you're a fan, you go, you shut off your brain, and just be like,
oh, that's never a good review. Just go shut off your brain, you'll like it. Sleep.
If you couldn't shut off your brain, I would not have sat through both Step Up and Step Up to the Street.
It's a very good point.
Opening night.
You danced your way
right there. There were parts where I was like, I don't want to think about that or how bad it was. But overall, I enjoyed myself. I had a good time. I felt like there was some great action stuff. A lot of the stuff that was shot looked great. And
how high do you have to be?
Yeah.
I would say at least 2 joints.
Okay. I liked the first hour of it very much. I thought that was really enjoyable. I completely disagree with you on the look of the movie. They're trying to make it look like it was shot on a soundstage, make it look very pulpy, and I think they did a great job. Kudos to the cinematographer.
Wow.
Great review of the movie.
I think that is a good review of the movie.
Well, but the movie was bad. The script was terrible.
That being a spoiler, that there were aliens in it.
That's the biggest problem with the movie.
Yeah. That's what I heard. Everyone was like, come on.
It's kind of like a
problem with the aliens, but I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have the Wrath of God in the first one. That's okay. But this is like a pulp kind of.
Yeah, but the Wrath of God is real and aliens aren't.
Thank you.
Hardcore.
No, my problem actually with that, the reason I believe the Wrath of God but didn't believe in aliens is.
It's not Sigourney Weaver.
Right.
Yes. I don't believe in that movie.
These are part of a weird religion.
You can't see God in all three of the first movies, the Holy Grail. Even the Temple of Doom, where you know the heart eating god or whatever. It's
Om Nam Shibai.
They're they walk a line there, I think, between is there something else going on or really is there something mystical? And I think as an audience member, we're like, well, there's definitely something mystical, but maybe there's not. Maybe there's still some scientific explanation. As opposed to Indiana Jones, this one, obviously a huge spoiler, but we've already spoiled it, is like, come on, aliens aren't real. And they're like, yeah, there they are. You see an alien. You see an alien spaceship. Enjoy.
Oh, that's so wrong.
See, I would have been fine with that concept of aliens in there, but it's just so poorly done. It's, the whole story is insanely bad, I just think. The way, and the villains are, they're hokey. At least, I was scared of the Nazis. These people, you're
How
like...
How old were you, though?
Very small. Very young and impressionable.
I was talking about when you saw Katie in the kitchen.
Child in the future.
So you're saying don't go see it.
Go see it if you want. I mean, you probably want to go see it because you're a fan.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff that you'll enjoy. There's
he's wearing the hat. Harrison Ford's in it.
Shia LaBeouf. Ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Oh, and screw his name guy. Is Mutt.
I know, I don't like him.
There's a scene where he swings like Tarzan in the lines. It's insane.
Monkey
friends are insane.
Monkeys teach you how to swing. That's what they do.
No.
Hey, here's the king of Mexico.
Yeah.
All right. You should move on to the next thing we're going to talk about. Actually, can we get the lights down? I'm not going to close.
See, it's a good thing.
This is the Witchblade teaser poster.
Why you move that?
See, because it's weird. But.
That's it.
What do you guys think about this? Excited for a Witchblade movie? Excited about this teaser poster?
Yeah.
You can tell.
She's no bomb queen.
Yeah. I'm excited for that light bulb she looks like she's hiding in her hand. That looks cool.
That's definitely where your mind's supposed to go.
Ooh, do you think this is a stealth Rudolph movie?
That's a sexy Christmas story. I can't believe they made a movie after this failed as a TV series as well. Right?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Well, I mean, it was relatively successful as an anime series, and obviously I've sold hundreds and hundreds of issues of it, or hundreds of issues. I don't know. It's a little weird to me. I feel like the only thing that this has going is that it's a TNA franchise. Clearly, they are pushing that.
Yeah.
Phew!
Apparently, right. We are too.
There you go.
We've been talking.
All right, next thing we are going to talk about is The Black Freighter, Tales from the Black Freighter. Coming out the day after the Watchmen movie, they're going to be releasing a DVD of an animated version of Tales. Animated? Is it?
Or
is it
animated?
Animated. Version of Tales from the Black Freighter. What do you guys think about this? You excited? You interested?
I'm just gonna shut up. I don't even know what it is.
Well, in the Watchmen is like kind of the comic book series, the graphic novel for comic book fans, and they're making a movie of it. And this was part of the graphic novel series. Everyone's like, God, that was bad. A lot of people like don't like it, and so I think it's a very smart move of them to not include it in the movie and to release it as a DVD separate. So yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and they're also looking at it on the other end of to save DVDs, is what they're saying.
Yeah, I saw that on. I was like, "What? Are DVDs in trouble? Should I be keeping track of mine? What's gonna happen? And why is this going to save?"
I came home from work the other day, and there was a DVD just teetering on the windowsill, and I was like, "No DVD, no!" Jumped.
Was that? I hope it wasn't Bring It On in it to win it.
It was short.
Wow. Amazing references to like D-list movies.
D-list?
Yeah. Okay, B-list.
B-list dance movie. If I may be clear.
That's the only kind. Alright, next thing, DC versus Mortal Kombat. The video game is
yeah!
We can get the lights down a little bit again.
Nice.
This looks terrible, so I wish I had realized that. But that's the Daily Planet Globe over there. Metropolis, Mortal Kombat, universe invading, I don't know. Is this sort of game, did you guys ever play Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
Would you be looking forward to a DC versus Mortal Kombat game?
No.
Why not?
Well, I don't have a console, so it's useless to me, first of all.
You could buy an arcade.
Or a card game.
Yeah, I would play it as a card game.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat. You could throw a card and get over here.
I have two scorpions. How many do you have?
It's fun. I like Old Maid.
Yeah.
That's what I used to play on that game.
Old Maid?
Yeah.
What do you think about this game?
Why? Why do you think?
Why not?
Everything.
I mean, games are making a ton of money. Why not try it? You know, give it a whirl. I was a big fan of Mortal Kombat when I was a kid.
So Mortal Kombat versus
DC. The next thing that's going to happen is that, you know, Mortal Kombat will just invade like Indiana Jones universe or something else. It'll be. Well,
I don't
where
see.
You gotta draw the line
are they
somewhere.
Sacred? Can you not make video games about
Mortal Kombat versus Comic Book Club? This panel. This panel.
This the fights are literally 1 second long.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What don't you know? You think it wouldn't even be a second, right?
All
right.
Like, I know some codes.
Yeah.
Fatality.
The only code you know
is
Fatality.
Yeah. Up,
right.
Up, down, left, right, left, right. BA, select star.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Wow.
I like how you were so proud of that nerd moment. Yeah! What's up? Justin Tyler!
Absolutely, I can't imagine. Last thing we're going to talk about is Runaways, the series by Brian K. Vaughan,
which occasionally
is written by Joss Whedon, is coming out as a movie from Marvel Studios written by Brian K. Vaughan.
That's cool.
Now, if you told me the last one was going to be a movie, I'd be like, yeah! But
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, Mortal Kombat versus DC.
What do you guys think? You excited about this? Interested?
I'm interested. Yeah.
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 As long as I don't go back to the Wild West and get stuck there. Otherwise, I'm...
I mean, I think it's great. I think it's great that Brian K. Vaughan is writing it. Obviously, he's shown his chops by writing on Lost. It's good. And it's a good move for Marvel Studios as well.
They're making 100 movies now at the same time.
Is that true?
They keep announcing movie after movie here.
Yeah. Well, this one isn't coming out until, like, 2012 or something like that.
Who knows where we'll be then?
Will they be here?
Hopefully. Trapped here.
Yeah. But we've got long beard. Alright, that's it for the week again! Which is time for our next session, which is trivia, and for now we'll turn it over to Pete LePage.
Alright!
Give it up.
Booth man, really? Come on, dude, I thought we were past this. Alright, this is your chance. Lucky audience member to win a Midtown Comics gift card. That's right. $25 free. Who wants $25? Simply raise your hand. All right, come on down.
Yeah.
You're the next contestant. All right. Hey, what's up, man? What's your name?
Brett.
Brett? Audience? Audience Brett.
Yeah. All
right. So, obviously, today's trivia is about Bomb Queen.
Oh.
So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you the question.
Okay.
You're going to listen to all three answers.
Mm-hmm.
Pick the right one.
Okay.
All right? And then you got three questions.
Also known as multiple choice.
There we go. Bomb Queen was originally part of a quartet of supervillains called A... The Queen's Force, B, the Four Queens, or C, the Naughty TNA One-Shots.
Can I hear those again, please?
Yeah. It's either A, the Queen's Force, B, the Four Queens, and we all know it's not C.
Okay. I'm going to go B.
He's correct. He's correct. One for one. Here we go.
Are these all about bombs?
Yes. Just use the music. Here we go. The Bomb Queen is the blank of Newport City. Is it A, mayor, B, dictator, or C, the well-written and well-drawn tramp?
I'm going to go dictator.
Yeah! Didn't even need any help. Here we go. Last one. Ash is the name of A, Bomb Queen's power source, B, Bomb Queen's cat, or C, the name of her huge gaping ego.
Cat?
Cat is correct! $25, $3. Nice work.
Did you say Pokemon? Pokemon training. Huh? Ash Ketchum. That's right. Okay. So that's what the cover would mean.
Yeah, cool. All right, as we all know, tomorrow is a new comic book day, except it's not, sadly, because of the holiday. So new comic book day is on Thursday. We recommend early Thursday morning you go to Midtown Comics. Because
why?
Because we're nice enough to sponsor our show.
Oh,
that makes sense.
So what are you guys looking forward to? Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Proof.
Yeah, I like
Proof.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
clear you and so the charges.
No, it's a comic book.
Oh.
And it's coming out on Thursday, and it's really a lot of fun and well written.
Nice.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to the Starman Omnibus hardcover Starman.
Cool.
Looks awesome.
I have it
yes.
already. It's real nice.
What the fuck? Is that true?
Yeah.
How'd you get it?
I know people.
Who?
All right, I'm looking forward to Final Crisis number one. It's been a long time.
Sellout! You're a sellout! You're a sellout!
This is, just so you guys know, Pete and I have a bet. How much is the bet for, Pete?
$20?
No, I don't think that's true. first of all, the bet, so you know, Pete said, after a countdown to Final Crisis, I'm not reading Final Crisis.
And I was like, so turned off by how shitty that whole thing was that I was like, I'm not going to read it.
And I said, come on, Pete, we do a comic book review show.
We
do several of them. And you're always chastising me for not reading everything I possibly can.
Well,
because it's our responsibility as reviewers, right? And I was like, you're definitely going to read it, right, Pete? And you're like, no, I'm absolutely not. So how much do we bet?
$20.
No, it was $1 million.
Damn it!
$1 million.
We bet $1 million that Pete, by the end of the round, would be reading Final Crisis.
And I can't read it now because I don't have $1 million.
Well, Mexico.
Well, we'll see what happens. King? Anyway, it comes out tomorrow. We'll see if I am even here next week.
What does that mean?
If I have $1 million, I'm not coming back.
Oh! Whoa! Wow.
Sell out.
You are a sell out.
Sell out.
Sell out. Let's get out.
Sell out.
I'll be invisible or something.
Wait. If you have $1 million, you'll come but be invisible?
Why?
Well, I'm still interested in the show. I think it's really interesting. So, I'm just going to choose something for you. I believe Archie 585 is coming out.
Hey, yo.
And finally, Veronica dies. He ends up with Betty.
Okay, which is kind of nice. I think everyone's secretly rooting for Betty the whole time.
Yeah.
But Veronica's always ensnaring him.
She's
again.
She's very wealthy.
She is. Do you remember, did you read the one where her dad, like,
the
no,
one.
Probably not. No, but there was this one where her dad was like, you're spending too much money at the mall. So he was like,
only one of those.
I know, it's probably like a recurring story. But anyway, he got her this like home shopping thing, but she was like, I miss the mall. And so Archie like had the stinky smells of the mall and like the sounds of the shitty water fountain. It was quite cute.
He goes way overboard.
I know, Archie's all about her.
And Jughead eats too many hamburgers.
Hey!
Jughead is crazy.
Cool.
That's a
joke
for a long
time. Some stuff that you have coming up.
Well,
I'm
looking forward to Angry Youth Comics number 14. Pretty fun. And actually, Heartburst and other stories. I think it's called
Yellow
by
Peach.
Yeah, it's already out in stores. I think I already covered it this week. I have a copy of it somehow. that's what invisibility will get.
Cool. And plug your stuff as well.
Well, in the fall, I have a Next Door Neighbor story coming out on smithmag.net. And I have an Activate comic, which we talked about earlier. I think it's going to be called The Transmigration of Ultralad, and it starts at the beginning of June. And, of course, you all have cards for the process, so go home and type that up. And
it's very cool.
Comment.
Crazy webpage.
And that's it. That's my huckster, P.T. Barnum.
Nice. Now it's my turn to be a huckster. A couple of things to plug. Next week, we are going to have a Mocha Fest preview with Brian Heater from Daily Crosshash, as well as a bunch of other awesome guests. Also, you can check us out 3 times a week at pulpsecret.com, pulpsecret.com. And there's a couple of people we want to thank, guys. We want
to thank them on our behalf.
Yeah? So you want to thank Selena for being
here?
John and Jared, big job. Most of all, we'd like to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
This is the book art person you were talking about. I beat you.